So, welcome again, and we continue on stanza number 25th of the 8th chapter, Bodhichaya Avatara. So, we talked about, we are going through the, you know, one of the main facilities or main environment through which, you know, meditation happens. Meditation, the shamatha meditation, which brings our mind peace and tranquility happens. And that is creating the solitude. And here, you know, one of the main thing is to lessen our attachment, you know, attachment to things, attachment to people, attachment to activities, and, you know, all sorts of activities and running after and running away from things in our mind or in our body. So that's creating that kind of environment. So now we come to this, you know, the praising the solitude place where it is quiet, the nature, you know, because if you look into the history, most of the enlightened people, most of the great spiritual masters kind of attained their spiritual achievements or in solitude, either in the forest, under a tree, like Buddha, or in the mountains, or deserts, or, you know, some solitude place in the caves and things like that. And that's because, you know, then you have no distraction. And especially, of course, just being in solitude place is not enough. You have to allow your mind to be in equally in solitude. But if you can do that, that solitude place is a source of great peace and very near to be in nature and undistracted and not attached to things. So therefore, it says, in woodlands, haunt of stag and bird, among the trees where no dissension jars, it's there I would keep pleasant company. When might I be off to make my dwelling there? You know? To admire the solitude, the natural, you know, place, the forests, mountains, seaside, you know, where there are not many human beings, there are only birds and wild animals like stags or deers and rabbits and all kind of wild animals roaming, you know, freely, birds singing among the trees, where there is, you know, it is such a undisturbing company, the company of these wild animals. So you kind of admiring that solitude place, admiring those kind of places, is itself a kind of way of admiring that actually in a way indicates my willingness to be free from all these attachments and distractions also. So therefore, you know, to have nowadays, of course there are lots of solitude places, whether it is at the moment, you know, possible for you to be in that kind of solitude place or not, that's another thing and another situation. It is not also necessarily saying that we should not understand that we cannot meditate unless we have this solitude place. Now this, another, you know, this is, I must say this, because some people think that, oh, at the moment I cannot meditate because I can't go to the solitude place and I can't go to the caves and I can't go in the forest, and so therefore I can't meditate. That's another, you know, what do you call it, just finding an excuse. That's just an excuse. So always people, when I retire, then I go to the solitude and then I meditate. That's not the idea. That should not be the case. You know, it's not that we cannot meditate unless we find a place like that. That's not the case. But, of course, meditating or practicing or being in the solitude place is extremely good. And it is also, you know, when we go into a solitude place, naturally our mind becomes more peaceful, you know. Everybody will feel it. You know, you go to the forest and immediately you find more, you know, in peace, more, you know, kind of relaxed, seaside, you know, unless there is a beach and too many people, in the mountains, in the forest, in the meadows. I have never been too much in the deserts, but people say it's same in the desert also. Maybe in the sea also. Many people like to sail in the sea or lakes and things like that. Water has also that effect. So that's why it is said like this. The Tibetan stanza translation is Nana rida shanamto, hina mani jumeshi, runa deva denato, namji neji da nejurus. Then the place, pukam lagon tombato, tombam junhi tona neji te, namji jatun mekashi, chapa mepan jeshi, sashu nagar zon mepa, rongin chine yonamsa, So these two stanzas when shall I depart to make my home in cave or empty shrine or under spreading tree with in my breast a free unfettered heart, which never turns to cast a backward glance. You know, this talking about, you know, renunciation also here. When you have this kind of clear renunciation, clear longing to be free, to not to be attached to anything, not to be, you know, kind of encaged in both a golden cage as well as an iron cage. you know. Golden cage is when everything is good and everything is right. And there are lots of luxuries and there's lots of progress and there's lots of activities and there's lots of success and there's lots of... That's a golden cage also, you know. Of course, basically it depends on your mind. If you are not attached to things, then it's not a cage. But if you are attached, and it is more likely that you get attached to these things, because we are all human beings, we are all samsaric beings. But anyway, you know, this is kind of a when shall I depart to make my home in a cave, empty shrine, under spreading trees, just in the forest, in my breast a free, unfettered heart, you know, there is no fetter, no chains, no cage. That means free from craving, free from attachment, free from desire. Then which never turn to cast a backward glance. I don't have to kind of look into the past or into the future, you know. You are not attached to the past or not attached to the future, so therefore your mind is free. When might I abide in such a place? This and other places also, you know. A place unclaimed and honorless. You know. Nowadays it's very hard to find an unclaimed place. An honorless place, but you know, there used to be a lot. You know, say now, like in Tibet, you know, it was all the mountains, nobody had any ownership. All the forest, nobody had the ownership. You know, all the caves, most of them had no ownership. So you could stay anywhere you liked, you can do whatever you like. You know, in those places, you are totally free. And you don't have to pay anything. Nobody will restrict you about you can stay there or you cannot stay there. You can go there, you cannot go there at that time. Unclaimed, honorless. That's wide and unconfined. It's very free, wide, you know, and not confined in a small kind of a area or a small kind of a restrictions, lots of restrictions, no restrictions. Where a place where I might stay at liberty without attachment, you know. This kind of, if you are in that kind of a place, it also gives the same, impact on your mind, you know, free, boundless, limitless, spacious, you know. This kind of, that's, those kind of places are the places where, you know, most of the great masters, you know, spend their time in Tibet also. Long time ago in India also, you know. And even now sometimes, you know, even in the Himalayas, you find many, many kind of secret yogis, you know. Meenjee Rinpoche told me that there are so many secret yogis, you know, staying at different places in the Himalayas, you know, in small places, in huts, in caves, you know, just like totally, you know, unknown to the people, you know. There are lots of like that, lots of great masters even now. Maybe, you know, it's more difficult for people in the West, because if you do some years of retreat, then you have to write a book about your experience and become famous and then say something that claiming that nobody did it before you or something like that. It's not that kind of a thing, you know, but just genuinely wishing to find peace and happiness and, you know, and enjoy in the liberty, to liberate your mind. Then when might I be free of fear without the need to hide from anyone, with just a begging bowl and few belongings, dressed in garments coveted by none? So this is the most important, you know, the Tibetan translation is, Lose la to Niseto, Kalamuki Conjoch, Luna Bar Mazetu, Jemene Panam Hindus. In Tibetan, this is kind of upside down, dressed in garments coveted by none, with just a begging bowl and few belongings, without the need to hide from anyone, when might I be free of fear? You know? So, when can I be in this kind of a free of any fear? You know? Free. My mind free. My mind free of aversion, attachment. You know, that's the most important fear, without fear, without attachment, without expectation, you know, then only you have true solitude, you know, true solitude of the mind. And for that, then, you know, less you need, you know, the more you need, the more you want, the more you are, you have craving, the more your activities, the more your attachment, the more, you know. So the desire, the greed has no limit, you know. So therefore, you know, if you can just, you know, just content with the minimum needs, then actually we don't need that much. And that much we become free, you know, because just a little bit of dress that will keep us warm, but not so kind of, you know, designed or anything like that, or, you know, that people want it from you, or people, you know, want to take it away from you, or you are afraid that you will lose, not like that. And then some simple things like a begging bowl, or, you know, very, you know, minimum needs of food and, you know, materials that in it. And then you don't have, that's why you don't have to hide from anything. You don't want to, you know, make up, or you don't have to kind of pretend to be anything. So you are totally free. And when that kind of attitude or, you know, a state of mind happens, it's not that, you know, you have to only wear the most kind of bad dresses, or you have to be unclean, or you have to, you know, have nothing, you have to be extremely poor. It's not necessarily like that, but, you know, you are contented, you don't need too much, you are not running after something, whether it's your material, your attachment to the people, or attachment to a name or fame, or, you know, any kind of those things. Then, you know, you have solitude. And, you know, these are very much connected with meditation, because, you know, the more you have that, the more your mind is free, the more you have peace of mind, the more you have contentment, the less worries you have, the less anxiety you have, you know, the more freedom you have, and therefore you have peace, peace of mind, tranquility, you know, no fear, no clinging, no attachment. Okay, this is stanza number 28, so I stop here. Thank you.